Hello, welcome to your eighth and final video in our series, The Noble Eightfold Path. I want to say right up front that it's been a delight to go on this journey with you and that I accidentally flipped steps 7 and 8. So 2 weeks ago, I talked about right concentration as the seventh step on the Noble Eightfold Path, and I was wrong. That is step 8. So this week, we're going to talk about step 7, which ironically enough, is right mindfulness. So somehow my mindfulness slipped up and I switched the order of the Noble Eightfold Path. I beg your forgiveness. Nonetheless, today we will complete our journey by investigating what is meant by right mindfulness. So there are certainly many ideas about what mindfulness is. I often hear it described as a way of being nicer. Should be more mindful in that conversation. Or a way of being more effective? What if you were more mindful in the way you presented your ideas? Or even a way to become enlightened? If you were fully mindful, you would be a Buddha. And maybe all these things are true, but how can this one word mindful mean all of these things? It's been sort of co-opted in numerous ways. It's been co-opted by science. Mindfulness has proven to be awesome. Great. It's been co-opted by self-help systems, the mindful this and the mindful that. Can't argue with that. And it's been co-opted too by, I would say, what I would call sort of new agey ways of viewing how to be a good person. If you were mindful, you wouldn't be upset. If you were mindful, you wouldn't be attached. If you were mindful, you would be able to be kind in all situations. Mindfulness has sort of become equated with, trying to think of a nice way to say this, being all sunshine and light. And that is not what is meant, neither by the relative use of the term mindfulness, which I'll explain in a moment, or the absolute version of the word mindfulness. So relatively speaking, all mindfulness means is the ability to place your mind, your attention, on the object of your choosing, and then hold it there. And then when it strays, because of course it will, to bring it back. That's all it means. It doesn't mean any of these very beautiful and lofty things that could be a consequence of mindfulness, but mindfulness itself does not mean those things. Here's a little experiment to show what is meant by mindfulness. If I ask you, you don't have to move or change or do anything to complete this exercise, it happens within. If I ask you to please place your attention on your left kneecap, I'm sure you can do that. Just let your attention hover. Just notice your left kneecap. And now, let your attention rest on your right earlobe. Just move it to your right earlobe and notice it. Put it back on your left knee. Now put it above my head. Put it behind your head. And now put it back on your left knee. It's a little parlor game, a way of demonstrating what is meant by placement of attention. So something moved between those points. That something is your awareness. And that something, awareness, is what we work with in mindfulness. In the case of our meditation practice, as you know, we place that on the breath. And that's all we're doing. So it's simple, it's ordinary, and it has profound and extraordinary implications when you train in working with mindfulness or awareness. On a more transcendent level, perhaps what is meant by right mindfulness in the Noble Eightfold Path is not just the ability to hold your mind on your breath or whatever the object of your meditation is while you're doing your spiritual practice, but to hold your mind on whatever happens in front of you, within you, around you, from moment to moment to moment to moment. In other words, right mindfulness is something extremely fluid and powerful. It moves with what is. rather than what we wish was, is. I know that's bad English. It moves with what is rather than what we hope will be or fear will be. That's a very tall order. In some sense, right mindfulness involves the fullness of who you are, your complete attention, all your sense perceptions open, your awareness turned up to 11. And at the same time, weirdly, right mindfulness might not have anything to do with you or me. In other words, it's not what I'm mindful of. It's mindfulness itself that is right mindfulness. So this doesn't mean you don't count. It doesn't mean that what you worry about and hope for isn't relevant, because of course those things are. It means that those things are simply part of what is going on, not the totality. So I think we'll just keep it at that. Keep it very simple. I'm sorry I skipped this step last time. And now for a brief recap. Over the last 16 weeks, we have contemplated the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the fourth noble truth. I know that that sounds out of sequence. The first noble truth of Buddhism, and one could say of reality, if you look at it that way, is life is unsatisfying. It's always changing. There's no place to settle. Very disconcerting. Second noble truth is the cause of suffering. Grasping creates suffering. The third noble truth is called the cessation of suffering, meaning stop doing that and you will stop suffering, stop grasping. And the fourth noble truth is, well, how the H do you do that? Well, here's eight steps. The Noble Eightfold Path tells you how to stop grasping and therefore to stop suffering, and thus to become of vast and powerful benefit in this world for yourself and others. First is right view, seeing things clearly, which basically means you kind of see, oh yeah, that first noble truth, it's true. Second is right intention, which naturally springs from right view. When you see things clearly, your intention is in the pocket, is aligned, is accurate. Right speech. You use your communication, not just your written words, but your, not just your spoken words, but your written words and your body language and the way you connect with others are rooted in right intention and right view. Right view and right intention, and so are powerful. Then is right livelihood. What you do in the world is in accord. Right action, all the gestures you make, the decisions you make, the way you order your home, the way you clothe yourself or spend your money or make decisions are in accord. After right action comes right effort. You don't give up. You don't give up on yourself or others or this world. Then comes right mindfulness, which we talked about right now. So I'm sorry it's out of sequence. And finally is right concentration, which we talked about a few weeks ago as having something to do less with really trying hard to focus and more with letting yourself flow with what is from moment to moment. And in this way, right mindfulness and right concentration have a lot in common, and together they comprise genuine wisdom. So I hope this has been useful. You may be wondering, I hope you've enjoyed this. Now what? I'm contemplating that question too. But don't worry, you will hear from me in 2 weeks with something new, because I really want to keep the conversation going. It has been a delight. So thank you. And now let's sit together for 10 minutes and practice right mindfulness. Begin your practice by establishing your posture, which means to sit up straight with a sense of ease. So you're alert, you're present, you're dignified, and you're relaxed, not gritting our teeth. We're just here in our ordinary bodies as ordinary human beings with the intention to wake up. The legs are crossed loosely in front of you, or if you're in a chair, you can sit with your feet flat on the floor. The hands rest on the legs, palms down. And just let the hands rest. And let the belly relax and soften. Let the shoulders relax. The mouth is closed, but the lips and teeth can be slightly parted. And please enjoy being invited into your own silence. It's quite a luxury and a delight to fall silent. The breath is natural in and out through the nose, meaning no breathing technique. You already know exactly how to breathe. The eyes are open and the gaze is cast down to a spot in front, somewhere that feels comfortable given the distance of your screen, somewhere between the horizon and the ground. Gaze forward and let the eyes be very soft. With a sense rather not of seeking, but of receiving through the eyes. And let the forehead relax and the crown of the head reach up a little bit. Now that thing that we move from our knee to our earlobe and so on, let that rest on the breath, meaning feel the body breathe. Feel the inhale and the exhale. We're not observing the breath, we're feeling the breath. It's a subtle and important distinction. We're with ourselves. Your mind will continue to make thoughts, no problem. Most of the thoughts will just come and go, like little sounds that pop. Fine, you don't have to do anything about them. Only if you notice that you've become so absorbed in thought that you've forgotten about your breath, do you want to do something. First, that's great. You just woke up. You saw where your mind was. And as such, have choices. Here, the choices, notice that. You're thinking. Label that moment thinking. Don't just shove it away. Just take a moment, thinking. Then let go. Gently come back to the breath. And begin again, feeling this inhale. And this exhale. So this is our practice, and we'll sit together until you hear the bell. thank you so much for your practice. Thank you for practicing with me. And thank you for practicing together. I will see you in a few weeks. In the meantime, if you want more connecting, more talks, more Dharma, more meditations, think about joining the Open Heart Project Sangha. No pressure, however. In all cases, I will see you in a few weeks. Thank you so much.